The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are reviewing the Mystic cards in The Lair of Dagon, the fifth Mythos pack in the Innsmouth Conspiracy cycle. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get a Tentacle. And the cards in between get a +1, +0, or Elder Thing, respectively. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these player card reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. The first Mystic card in the pack is Flute of the Outer Gods. It has a cost of X, and it costs 4 experience points, although it does have the exceptional keyword, the first of the Mystic card. First Mystic card to have that keyword. Willpower, combat, and agility skill icons, item, instrument, relic, and curse traits. When you play it, you can seal up to X curse tokens. It has the action Exhaust Flute of the Outer Gods and release one curse token sealed on it. Choose a non-elite enemy at your location. You can either move the chosen enemy to a connecting location or deal it 1 damage to any enemy at its location. This action does not provoke attacks of opportunity, and it takes up a hand slot. What do you think about the flute?
I am so confused by this card. I don't understand what it's doing. I mean, I understand what it's doing, but I guess I don't understand what slot in the Mystic card pool this is supposed to be filling. Like, Mystics are already pretty good at dealing with enemies, and this just makes you jump through the hoop of getting a bunch of curse tokens into the bag to be able to do stuff to enemies. You can only use this once a turn. It doesn't have very good skill icons. It costs 4 experience.
It also 8 costs... experience.
Oh, it's exceptional. Right. So it costs 8 experience. Oh my goodness. Ay. There's a lot of strange choices with this card, in my opinion.
Yeah, I was the ability to move an enemy to a connecting location. We've seen cards that do this sort of scattered throughout the card pool where you get to move an enemy, and I don't think those cards see a ton of play. There's Bait and Switch is the one that immediately comes to mind. I'm sure there's a couple others out there, but they don't see a lot of play. So that's one thing. And of course, if you're moving an enemy, you've got to make sure it doesn't have the Hunter keyword, so it doesn't just move back and get you. I mean, dealing damage to an enemy without a skill test is good, but most non-elite enemies only deal 1, maybe 2 damage at most, and so you're completely reliant on this condition that you don't know if you're actually going to be able to fulfill it or not. I mean, depending on the scenario, you could end up with enemies that just deal horror, you know, and this card just becomes, you know, moving again. I guess you could seal all the curse tokens in the bag and just not trigger this thing, but people...
It cost you 10 resources,
10 resources, like up to 10 resources to do that. Like, Mystics don't have the cash to do that. And, you know, if you're playing in multiplayer, there's probably somebody at the table who wants those curse tokens for something. So that's not really a good option. I mean, maybe Ursula likes this so she can... I mean, Ursula's got pretty limited enemy management options, so maybe that's... She could use the damage on this. You know, exceptional is... Of course, we've talked about this repeatedly this cycle. It's just a pain. The Mystics do have some cards that draw cards. I wouldn't necessarily say... I mean, they're certainly not Seekers in the draw department. And you just got to fulfill so many conditions. You know, you've got to fill the bag with some tokens, some curse tokens, and
8 experience too. My goodness.
So how do you rate this monstrosity?
I think this has to be the tentacle of the pack for me. It's just so weird, and not in a good way.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm willing to go as far as tentacle, but man, it's very tempting. It, like, you really need to be playing a Mystic with an off class. Like, pure Mystics simply do not have the cards to be adding curse tokens to the bag. They only have one card that adds it, one curse token. So if you're playing a pure mystic like Akachi or Jacqueline or anybody like that, this is a no-go. So you've got to be playing Dexter, or maybe Safina could do something with it.
Maybe Luke. Well, Safina
Luke.
can't play it.
Oh, Safina can't play it. Oh, right, she can't. Yeah, it's too much. Yeah, so it's like Luke or Dexter. But
Yeah. Luke is so good at dealing with enemies anyway with his gate box that he doesn't need a card like this.
yeah, so I mean, I really wonder who this is for. Yeah, I think I gotta give it a tentacle. I don't like this one.
Yeah, it's tough, man. Like, what do you do with this card? Even when you draw it and you get it in play and you do all these things, like, you spend one action to either move the enemy or deal it some damage, and it's like you could have just played a Shriveling.
Yeah, there's a lot of hoops to jump through just to deal maybe one, two damage to an enemy a couple times,
You could put
depending on
two
a.
Shrivelings in your deck for the price of this thing and have two experience left over.
Yeah, it's 8 experience points. That's the, like.
I think if it costed two experience points, I'd be more willing to bump it up to like an elder thing, because then other off-class mystics could experiment with it. But as it stands, this is just a.
Well, that's the thing that worries me is that when designer MJ Newman puts 4 experience or like costs a card at 8 experience points, I'm like, is she doing something that I'm missing? Like, is there some sort of trick to this card that she has in mind that I've totally missed, or what's the deal? Because I feel like for 8 experience points, this must be like a bomb, but it just doesn't seem that way.
Yeah, I don't know what MJ or Jeremy were thinking when they designed this, but I'd be really curious to know. Because, like you said, there has to be a reason that they tacked on so much experience to this card.
Yeah,
And I'm just not seeing it.
it just doesn't jump out at me and go like, oh yeah, that's what you do with it.
You know, I'd be really interested if someone in the YouTube comments shared their thoughts about this card and was able to make it work, but I got, yeah, this card just confuses me.
Yeah, it's the action too that it like you've got to spend an action every time you do this, and it's just like, I don't know. I just don't see this. Anyway, this is getting a tentacle. It's bad, I think. Don't bother with this. Mystics have so many better options to spend their experience points on than spending 8 on this one. It's just
One of
not
which is the
good.
next card we're going to talk about.
The second mystic card in the pack is Ikkyak. It is a 3-cost asset that costs 3 experience points. It has a willpower and intellect skill icon. The ally and sorcerer traits, you get +1 willpower and +1 intellect. You get -1 willpower and -1 intellect for each weakness beneath Ikkyak. When, as a response, when an investigator at your location draws a basic weakness, exhaust Ikkyak. Cancel that weakness's effects and place it face down beneath Ikkyak. Its owner must draw it if Ikkyak leaves play. It has 2 health and 2 sanity and takes up an ally slot. This is one of the cards that was designed by the council at Arkham Knights 2018, which I attended, and I did receive the promo copy of Ikkyak. But I can't remember what the original version of Ikkyak did. Anyway, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this one, Nate.
This is a really interesting card. I certainly wouldn't take this through TFA or Circle Undone for cards like Centuries of Secrets or Arrows from the Trees, just outright sniping this thing from my field and then I have to draw another weakness or something. But man, this card is really interesting. You get a decent stat buff right from the get-go, and being able to cancel weaknesses is very strong, especially later in the game. You know, if you're able to keep this ally out for most of the game, and then you get to the critical point of the scenario where you need to make sure you don't draw your weaknesses, this is a great insurance policy for that. It's reasonably costed as well. It's got 2 health and 2 sanity, so it can soak some damage. I like this card quite a bit. I think it's very interesting.
I do not.
Really?
No, I don't like Ikiak very much. I think the stat boost is quite nice. The +1 willpower and +1 intellect is good. I'm not entirely convinced that the designers should be making cards that cancel basic weaknesses. And I know that when this card was designed, there was quite a bit of talk about whether such cards should exist, considering that basic weaknesses are sort of a fundamental component of the game, and they really set the Arkham Horror LCG apart from other games of its ilk. And I think the problem I have with Ikiak is not so much that she can cancel a basic weakness, is that she basically becomes, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, as soon as you cancel a basic weakness with her, she just becomes sort of a liability, just sitting there in your ally slot, occupying your ally slot. You can't really kill her at that point because you have to draw the basic weakness if she dies. So she can't really, so she'll soak a damage in a horror for you, and then you're losing the bonus, so you don't get the +1 willpower and intellect, which, you know, if you're playing a mystic, you really want all the willpower you can get. I mean, that's their thing. So if you're using Ikiak to take a bunch of basic weaknesses off people's hands, then it's like, okay, so I'm making myself worse just so you don't have to deal with your basic weakness. Like, and I mean, there are certain, some of the worst weaknesses, like Doom, she can't deal with those. So I don't know. I feel like mystics have so many good ally options that this one is like they're better options than worrying about your basic weakness.
Yeah, that's a fair argument, I would say. It is interesting in that you could, like, in theory, you could hold off on drawing that weakness, right? So say you had like a weakness like Haunted or 13th Vision, and you needed to pass a couple of critical skill tests, so you could like keep them under her for the time being and then draw them when it's not relevant. But yeah, this is a tough card to evaluate too, honestly, because it's so unique in what it does, and like you said, it does kind of fundamentally break one of the core tenets of this game. So
yeah, and I guess I find, like, there are some basic weaknesses obviously that are quite bad. I'd probably put like Overzealous,
the tower
close to the top as being cards that I really am unhappy to see when I draw them. I mean, if you're using Ikiak, you could sort of use her to fix if you draw a really bad one that's bad for your strategy. Like if you draw an Amnesia or a Paranoia and those really don't play well with what your deck is trying to do, Ikiak can fix that for you. I mean, you're spending 3 to 6 experience points. You need to both draw and play Ikiak before you draw your basic weakness. And then if you fill your deck with draw in order to draw Ikiak, you're just increasing the likelihood that you're going to draw said basic weakness before you draw Ikiak. So it's, I don't know, I'm really not a big fan of this card, especially the, like, I could see it in multiplayer, but, you know, canceling everybody's basic weaknesses, but taking, say, a -4 willpower and -4 intellect, like, what is your mystic doing at that point?
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't seem... Anyway, I am going to give Ikiak an elder thing, because I do not like this card. I don't think it's unplayable, like a tentacle, but I don't like her.
I think I'd give her a 0. Mainly just because I think there are just so many better allies, like you said. But I think there are certain, like you said, there are certain strategies that might want Ikiak just because it cancels out a very critical weakness that they need to be able to cancel out. Like, I remember in a specific game I played with Vase where he was playing as Skids, you know, he was playing parallel Skids, and he needed all the money that he could get, but he drew Paranoia in his deck, and there was a point where he lost 46 resources with Paranoia, so, you know, having Ikiak on the table could have saved him from that, and we could have spent his resources and then sacked Ikiak, and he could have drawn the weakness when it was more convenient for him. But I think barring those circumstances, your argument will mostly stand on that this card is going to be more often than not a liability on your field.
That's going to do it for our look at the Mystic cards in the Lair of Dagon. Man, I can't help feel that the Mystics have really got the shaft this entire cycle.
I was just going to say, they drew the short straw on this one, for sure.
Yeah, this is not a good pack for Mystics. Certainly not a must-have, for sure. Flew to the Outer Gods. I don't know what the magic is with this one, but for 8 experience points, I'd expect something pretty amazing, and I think what you get in return is... perhaps I'm missing something, but I don't see what the magic is here. And as for Ikiak, I think Nate and I disagree on this one. I'm not a huge fan. I just don't see myself ever purchasing this ally. I think Mystics have so many better allies that they need, and I certainly would not purchase Charisma in order to purchase Ikiak. And so that really sort of is the nail in the coffin of that card for me. It's just like, would I purchase Charisma for it? No, I would not. I would purchase many other allies ahead of this one. So, and I mean, just from a game design standpoint, I think, I mean, the game is known for its basic weaknesses, and having a card that can cancel them is not really what I think the game should be doing, but It's out in the wild now. So, any final thoughts, Nate?
Yeah, this is a tough pack to evaluate. And if you're just looking for Mystic cards, I would definitely go elsewhere.
That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your elder sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.